Today in review, Print Speaking to the Blind, celebrating 40 years of audio newspaper production. Welcome to this week's edition of the Kirkintilloch Herald podcast, recorded at the Bishopriggs Media Centre by our amazing volunteers. You can get in touch with us via Facebook, Twitter or Instagram using @QNReview. That is @CUEANDREVIEW. You can also contact us directly by emailing information@QNReview.com. That is information@CUEANDREVIEW.com. Or by calling 0141 772 3976. That's 0141 772 3976.
This week's edition of the Kirkintilloch and Bishopriggs Herald podcast, as recorded on Wednesday the 10th of January 2024, by volunteers Corey, Hunter, Ian and Rebecca.
New Miners Hub welcome. The green light has been given to raise the former Waterside Miners Welfare and Social Club to make way for the development of a new community hub. Standing on Duntybly Road in the former mining village, the social club building closed its doors in March 2020 as the COVID pandemic hit. The building has not reopened since, leaving the village with no community space for meetings, events or gatherings. At that time, the Waterside Miners Charitable Society, WMCS, that owned the associated land and buildings, also became dormant. Now, thanks to renewed efforts of some, the WMCS, which exists to provide recreational and leisure facilities for the community, is back operating, and the future looks bright for the village because of it. On November the 30th, they were given the green light to demolish the decaying buildings and build a new state-of-the-art community hub in its place. Speaking to the Herald, Ian Bowman from WMCS said, "In response to the loss of this important facility, a group of local people took steps to reactivate the charity with a vision for developing a new community hub in the village. In May 2022, a new set of trustees was appointed and the charity was revived. A wider committee of interested people from the local community was also appointed to support the trustees. Having become apparent that the Miners Club building was beyond economic repair, a firm of architects was appointed to undertake a feasibility study for the demolition of the existing building and construction of a new state-of-the-art facility on the site. This study was funded by the Coalfields Regeneration Trust and was completed in March 2023. With various design options presented for a new community hub, the trustees and committee are now committed to proceeding to make this a reality for Waterside and the surrounding areas. It is anticipated that the overall cost will be in the region of £2 million, with demolition costs expected to be around £100,000 of this. Our plan sets out the steps to bring the project to fruition, and the longer term aims, objectives and vision for what a new community hub will mean to Waterside and the surrounding areas. This Week in History, as read this week by me, Ian. January 11th, 1928, Thomas Hardy, English poet and novelist, died in his native Dorset, aged 87. On this day last year, up to 25,000 ambulance workers across England and Wales went on strike as disputes with the government over pay continued. January the 12th, 1879, the British Zulu War began. On this day last year, King Charles made his first public engagement since the release of Harry's book with a visit to the Aboyne and Mid-Deeside Community Shed in Aberdeenshire. January 13, 1982, a Boeing 737 crashed into a bridge, hitting five ships and killing 78 people on the Potomac River in Washington, D.C. On this day last year, tributes flooded in for singer Lisa Marie Presley, daughter of Elvis Presley, after her death, aged 54, the day before. January the 14th, 1989,
British Muslims held public burnings of Salman Rushdie's The Satanic Verses. On this day last year, celebrated writer Salima Hill was awarded the King's Gold Medal for Poetry, Buckingham Palace announced. January 15, 1929, Martin Luther King, American civil rights leader, was born in Atlanta, Georgia. On this day last year, an Apollo plane crash left at least 68 dead in the country's deadliest aviation disaster in 3 decades. Nipped for stealing nip. A worker who stole £20,000 worth of special edition whiskey marking the 60th birthday of James Bond has narrowly avoided jail. Alan Scott sold several cases of the valuable spirits before he was caught on CCTV. The 38-year-old forklift engineer admitted stealing the single malt Macallan from his workplace, GXO Logistics at Eurocentral, between October and December 2022. John Coogan, prosecuting, told Hamilton Sheriff Court that management became aware of a spate of thefts and examined CCTV in an effort to find the culprit. Scott was seen on 2 occasions to remove a case of whiskey from the warehouse. He was confronted in December 2022 as he worked in a vehicle outside. Bottles of whiskey were found nearby. These were not the James Bond variety. Mr. Coogan told the court, the accused then admitted to police that, in October and November, he had stolen 3 cases of Macallan Special Edition James Bond 60th Anniversary whiskey. He said he got $4,000 a case when selling it to premises in Rutherglen. Scott's solicitor admitted it was a serious breach of trust. At the time, he explained, the dad of two had split from his partner and was facing financial difficulties. The lawyer added, he is ashamed of his behaviour. Sheriff Linda Nicholson told Scott, of Lamb Hill, Glasgow, he will be under social work supervision for 3 years as a direct alternative to prison. He must carry out 300 hours of unpaid community work and will be electronically tagged for 9 months, meaning he can't leave his home between 7 p.m. and 7 a.m. each day. Scott, who has a new job, must pay his former employer £20,000 compensation at the rate of £300 per month. Anyone with any information in relation to any crime should contact police on 101. Information can also be left anonymously via Crime Stoppers on 0800 555 111.
Time to Talk Day, as recorded by Hunter MacDonald. People across Eastern Bartonshire are invited to have an open conversation about mental health next month. See Me, Scotland's programme to end mental health stigma and discrimination, is urging everyone to join Time to Talk Day, TTTD, on February the 1st. The programme asks people to think about how they can start a conversation on mental health stigma, particularly in workplaces, schools, colleges, communities and with friends and family. TTTD is the UK's biggest conversation on mental health stigma, helping to break down barriers and reduce the stigma which prevents so many from asking for help when they need it. Last year there was a mix of online and in-person events and activities across the country, and See Me is hoping this year is an even bigger success. Building Society covering parking. The Bishopbriggs branch of Yorkshire Building Society, which is based at the Triangle Shopping Centre, is offering to reimburse customers parking charges for up to 2 hours when they pre-book an appointment with their team. To qualify, customers must use the council-managed car park at Kenmure Drive and produce a valid proof of parking and payment, which must show that the parking is taking place on the day of the pre-booked appointment. A maximum of £1 per customer will be reimbursed. Parking charges were reintroduced in the Kenmure Drive car park at the end of 2020, and following customer feedback, the team at the branch hope that covering the cost of parking will help customers attend appointments at the branch. Evelyn Kenny, branch manager at Yorkshire Building Society in Bishopbriggs, said, "We know that times are hard for a lot of people at the moment, so by helping with the cost of parking, we hope that people will be more likely to come into the branch and talk about how they can make the most of their finances and support other businesses in the area too. We hope to run this scheme until the end of March 2024, so if people have been putting off a trip to the branch or are overdue a financial check-up, now is the time for them to book an appointment. To book an appointment at the Bishopbriggs branch, call 0141 413 4533 or email bishopbriggs@ybs.co.uk.
New Charity Hub is given parliamentary recognition. Rona Mackay has recognised the work of a new charity hub in Bishopbriggs after it hosted a glittering event that raised over £150,000 for dementia research. The Molesdale Foundation's charity hub in the former Aviva building in the town has been offered to good causes free of charge for fundraising events. The first event was a gala dinner last month in aid of legendary Scottish racing driver Sir Jackie Stewart's global charity, Race Against Dementia, RAD, which raised the phenomenal sum. The Flying Scot founded the charity following his wife Lady Helen Stewart's dementia diagnosis to fund global research into the cures for dementia. Rona, SNP MSP for Strathkelvin and Bearsden, put forward a parliamentary motion at Holyrood this month, congratulating RAD on its fundraising efforts for research, and commended the Molesdale Foundation, set up by local businessman David Molesdale, for its contribution to good causes. Rona told us, "It is exciting to see people create innovative ways for charities to raise money. I'm delighted the Molesdale Foundation set up its charitable hub at Bishopbriggs, and I hope many will benefit from David's approach. What a fantastic first event, raising a hugely impressive sum." David, founder of Optical Express, said, "I'm proud of the Molesdale Foundation's headquarters hosting an event to support his incredibly important cause, and I look forward to continuing to welcome charities from across Scotland and the UK to use the facilities." NHS's Home for Lunch initiative. As winter poses increasing demand on our healthcare system, NHS GCD is encouraging family memberships to help get their loved ones home for lunch. Almost all patients that are ready to go home are discharged on the same day, but a number remain in hospital, causing flow issues throughout the healthcare system. Doctors are reminding families of patients who are ready to be discharged to help make the required arrangements to get them back to their own home or care setting at the earliest opportunity. NHS Greater Glasgow and Clyde ward staff and discharge teams work in parallel to create pathways for families to ensure that, when their loved ones are healthy enough to return home, they are supported in doing so. As part of NHS Greater Glasgow and Clyde's ABC Winter Campaign, the health board are attempting to ease pressure on our services and staff from the emergency department through to patients being discharged. Dr. Scott Davidson, Deputy Medical Director for Acute Services, said, "Winter places increasing demands on our healthcare services and families play an important role in helping to ease these pressures. Our staff are working extremely hard to ensure we provide the best possible care for our patients, and we are looking for your help to get loved ones home at the earliest opportunity. We do not want patients spending any longer than they need to within our hospitals and want people to be in the comfort of their own home without the risk associated with lengthy hospital stays. I would like to thank families and members of the public who are doing their best to support our patients and staff as we continue to tackle winter pressures." Meanwhile, parents and carers have been encouraged to complete a household health check to ensure their home is prepared for the remainder of the winter season. NHS Greater Glasgow and Clyde is advising families to take note of the options of care available to them and to familiarise themselves so as to set them in good stead for any illness or injuries in the new school year. For example, many may not be aware that they can directly access emergency care via a video or phone consultation on NHS 24 on 111, which can lead to a virtual A&E appointment.
Clinic helps homeless. Staff from Specsavers in Kirkintilloch spent time giving free eye tests and advice to people who are homeless at a special eye care clinic. Ryan Turner, Leslie Carey and Tess Bundren attended the Crisis at Christmas charity event, dispensing glasses and carrying out two healthcare interventions regarding dry eye disease and diabetic retinal screening. The special clinic is part of a nationwide initiative by Specsavers to improve access to eye care for people experiencing homelessness and other disadvantaged groups, such as those who cannot leave their home unaided. One in three people who are homeless need glasses, so the clinic offers an invaluable service to people who are experiencing eye problems despite major barriers to eye care. Dispensing optician Ryan told us, "Every day we improve people's quality of life by helping them achieve better sight and hearing. Unfortunately, for the several thousand people experiencing homelessness in the UK, it can be incredibly difficult to get access to this care and is very much a key tenet of our founding vision to make expert care accessible to everyone, regardless of the circumstances they might find themselves in. As a charity working to end homelessness, Crisis supports thousands of people to provide education, training and help with housing, employment and health. Through its frontline service across Britain, the charity helps people find a path out of homelessness for good. Crisis Chief Matt Downey added, "People experiencing homelessness can face significant barriers when trying to access healthcare they need, and can go for years without having an eye test. We know half are likely to develop serious eye health conditions. Being able to connect the people we support at Christmas to vital healthcare services can make a huge difference to people's lives, and why we are incredibly grateful to be working with Specsavers to deliver much-needed eye tests and advice. Specsavers also work with Vision Care for Homeless People, The Big Issue and other homelessness services to create long-term solutions to tackle this health inequality." Read by Rebecca.
New Year Exhibition in Focus. The focus will be on fantastic images when the Old Kirk Museum in Kirkintilloch opens the shutters on its latest show. The Scottish Photographic Circle exhibition, founded in 1907, a meeting of enthusiastic artists, is being hosted between January 13th and February the 15th. Since then, the group has gone from strength to strength, and its exhibitions at the Old Kirk are always popular. Admission is free and includes a range of stunning images from some of the country's finest amateur photographers and subjects ranging from buildings and landscapes to nature, wildlife and people. EDLC operates the Old Kirk and the chairman, Councillor Jim Gibbons, said, "We're delighted to welcome the SPC back to the museum. We have been fortunate enough to host its exhibitions for a number of years and I'm sure 2024 will be another success. For more information, call 0141 777 3013 or visit edlc.co.uk.
ScotRail introduced cost to charge points. Customers with electric vehicles now have better access to charging points to support their journeys, thanks to ScotRail. And the train operator has reminded electric vehicle owners that a charging tariff is now in operation at all charging points across its parking network. The provision of free charging at ScotRail stations helped promote the use of electric cars while reducing carbon emissions. However, providing it free of charge costs the train operator around £700,000 per year. David Lister from ScotRail said, "We are committed to providing our customers with the best possible journey, experience, and improving the ability of electric vehicle charging points is one of the ways we can do that. One of the main complaints we receive is that the charging points at our car parks are currently being blocked by vehicles overstaying, and the tariff from 8th of January 2024 will help to remove that issue. It is important that ScotRail delivers the best possible value to taxpayers, and the charging tariff will ensure that we recover the cost of operating them, allowing funds to be spent on improving rail services. The charge of 43p per kilowatt hour is similar to most local authorities and is in the bottom third of tariffs in the Charge Place Scotland network. It's expected that introducing the charges will discourage non-rail users from blocking the locations, something that has been a regular complaint from customers. The charges are aimed solely at helping ScotRail to recover the cost to taxpayer of operating the charging points, with no profit being made from the tariff. There are currently 60 locations with charging points at ScotRail stations, with 80 points providing 168 individual connections. A fixed overstay payment of £12 for 12 hours will apply, and while this will help to discourage people blocking access to others, customers will also be entitled to a refund if train delay has been the cause of their overstay. ScotRail has made impressive strides towards a decarbonisation, achieving a 12% reduction in its emissions, CO2e, since 2019-20. The provision of electric vehicle charging points support these efforts and help towards achieving Scottish Government's net zero targets.
An exciting year for BID. Businesses in Kirkintilloch are looking forward to a busy 2024 as they work together to improve the town. In November, businesses voted to work collectively in a Business Improvement District, BID, to boost the town centre. That saw a ballot held with 76 valid votes, 62 of which 81.58% were in favour of collaborative working. Eastern Bartonshire's Chief Executive, Gerry Cornish, announced the formulation of the BID with a goal to enhance the town centre by providing a dedicated voice for local business issues and a programme of initiatives and events. Supported by EDC, this as an operational, not-for-profit limited liability company aimed at making Kirkintilloch a destination for more day, evening and weekend events. The town's first event was a Christmas festival at Barleybank Square in late November, and at the start of the new year, organisers are hopeful of a busy 2024 with a new website, www.kirkintilloch.org, now in operation. Co-chairman of the group, Jim Hopkins, told us, "I'm absolutely delighted businesses voted in favour of the BID. By getting involved, we can work together to increase footfall, stimulate investment, enhance the reputation of our town centre and provide a strong, unified voice." The purpose of the Kirkintilloch BID is to support our local businesses, increase town centre trade and improve our business environment. It is hoped efforts will see greater promotion of the town centre for shopping, services and leisure, provide an enhanced digital presence for local businesses and the community, improve the quality of the public realm, reduce vacant units and breathe life into stalled spaces, further promote the local history and heritage and encourage partnership working with community groups, public sector organisations, etc. Members of EDC's Place, Neighbourhood and Corporate Assess Committee, PNCA, approved the BID business plan last October, and the council will provide a voluntary contribution of £200,000 over the 5-year term of the BID. PNCA convener, Councillor Paul Ferretti, added, "Like many town centres, Kirkintilloch has faced a number of challenges in recent years, so it's vital that regeneration work is closely aligned with the aims of local businesses. The BID gives local traders, hospitality venues and services a collective voice. Working together, we will do all we can to help ensure Kirkintilloch flourishes and thrives. Scotland's Improvement Districts aims to deliver change and boost businesses and local economies across the country. BID are developed, managed and funded by those who are liable to pay non-domestic rates in the defined BID area. For more, visit www.kirkintilloch.org and eastonbartonshire.gov.uk, Kirkintilloch-business-improvement-district-declaration-ballot-result.
Cancer Fundraiser, A Gift Beyond the Grave. A highly respected journalist whose wonderful weekly newspaper columns had the ability to make his readers both laugh and cry will contribute to help people even after his death from prostate cancer. Described as a wonderful writer and a philosopher by former editor Magnus Linklater, a collection of 50 of Fordyce Maxwell's Finest Scotsman's articles has been published by his family to raise money for Prostate Cancer UK. In When Trees Were Green, Fordyce, who died last year aged 77, jokingly compares his own cricketing career to that of Don Bradman, recounting the time a perfect cut ended up through the kitchen window and into a pan of boiling soup being prepared by his mother, and also when he opened a public speaking engagement for Jack Charlton, pondering whether the majority of the audience were there to see the World Cup winner or to see him, a Kelso Cup winner. He also writes movingly about all his daughter Jacqueline's first day at university, and most poignantly about the Dunblane massacre, suggesting that all bereaved parents can do is keep on keeping on, was one of the few things he could write about with certainty after his elder daughter, Susie, was murdered in 1982. Forsyth's son Tom, who edited the book, said, "One of my dad's many gifts was his ability to write about any subject, from tragedy to politics to war, to simple things like a school trip or a local football match, all with a beautiful, understated prose. He never needed to sensationalise. He would leave his many loyal readers cry, laughing one minute and crying the next. But he was every bit as wonderful, if not more so, as a father and a husband. And we still can't quite believe he's no longer with us. But with this book, we will still hear his voice, laugh with him, and cry with him. And he's been so proud that, even after he's gone, his many wise words will still be helping people to get through life." Tom said his father's experience with prostate cancer will sound far too familiar, and that he hoped it would serve as a warning to others. He said, "My dad was very fit for his age, and showed none of the typical signs of early prostate cancer. He would easily put people 20 years younger to shame, and even went for an 11-mile hike in Cheviots just a week before he was admitted to hospital, just before Christmas in 2019, unable to walk due to previously undetected spinal tumours. He had gone to the doctor several times over the previous 18 months with back and shoulder pain, only to be sent away for physio rather than a scan. But if a pain can't be explained, it could be something serious. We will never know for sure, but I think there's a good chance he could have been with us for a few more years if his cancer had been caught sooner. His youngest grandchild, Thomas, had only just turned one when my dad died, so those few years could have been the difference between him knowing and not knowing his granddad, who was one of the kindest, most affable and bravest people you could ever hope to meet. After beginning his second stint as the Scotsman's farming editor in 1989, after 12 years on the family farm, Fordyce was given his chance to shine with a weekly column in the newspages by then-editor Magnus Linklater. During his years as a freelance on the farm, he also wrote regularly for, among others, The Herald, The Journal and The Sunday Post. He was awarded an MBE for services to journalism in 1995. Roddy Forsyth, the former BBC Five Live Scottish football correspondent and a big fan of Fordyce, said, "To open a Fordyce Maxwell column is like sitting down with an old friend over a coffee or glass of wine. You don't know where the conversation will lead, but it is guaranteed to be lively, droll and thought-provoking, and invariably leads you looking forward to your next encounter." Saren Evans, head of events and community fundraising at Prostate Cancer UK, said, "We're so grateful for the support of Tom and the Maxwell family in producing this collection of Fordyce's wonderful work and raising vital funds for Prostate Cancer UK. Money raised will go towards funding groundbreaking research towards a screening programme so we can catch prostate cancer early and save lives. Fordyce's story shows why it's so important for men to know about their risk of prostate cancer and what they can do about it. So remember, men are at higher risk if they're over 50, black, or have a father or brother who has prostate cancer. Anyone with concerns can say, check my risk today and take our 30-second online risk checker. Don't fall foul of cold callers or it could cost you. Home insulation scams are on the rise in Scotland as criminals seek to capitalise on people trying to cut their energy costs. Figures from Trading Standards Scotland have revealed increasingly common scams, including cold callers offering cut-price spray foam insulation in lofts, have left people thousands of pounds out of pocket. As of mid-December, 158 complaints had been received from Scottish consumers about insulation scams, a rise of 42% on the 111 total in 2022. In 2021, there were only 66 complaints. It estimates that Scottish homeowners have lost a total of £500,000 to insulation scams in 2023 alone, with an average cost of between £4,000 and £8,000 per consumer. The advice from TSS is never to engage with cold callers offering free loft or roof surveys. Homeowners are also being urged to consult with a mortgage advisor regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority before having spray foam insulation installed. Typically used to insulate roofs, lofts and attics, the product can often cause problems in properties with timber-framed roofs. If incorrectly installed, it can reduce air circulation and ventilation. It can also be costly to remove at around £3,200 for a three-bed detached house. Councillor Maureen Chalmers, Trading Standards Scotland's Governance Board Chairwoman, said, "We strongly advise homeowners to consult with a mortgage advisor who is regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority before having spray foam insulation installed. Don't engage with cold callers offering free loft or roof surveys, and never accept information offered from these sources without doing independent research, particularly if they tell you that the grants or funding schemes available. We would also ask people to look out for family members, friends and neighbours who may be vulnerable, and to report any suspicious behaviour to Police Scotland. Home Energy Scotland is funded by the Scottish Government to provide free and impartial advice. Consumers should call its free helpline on 0808 808 2282, or visit www.homeenergyscotland.org.
Rail recruitment. ScotRail is steaming into 2024 with scores of vacancies set to be filled as part of its biggest recruitment drive in years. The train operator has already recruited more than 200 new members of staff since August. The new year will see that activity continue, with a focus on more conductors in January and many other roles that will help to improve services and reliability for customers. ScotRail expects to recruit a further 180 people before the end of March, with roles such as drivers, conductors, ticket examiners and engineers. Julie Dale, ScotRail HR Director, said, "This is a very exciting time for ScotRail and we're looking forward to building on a fantastic few months of recruitment by filling even more roles in the new year." Further information on job opportunities can be found on the website at www.scotrail.co.uk/careers.
Make the call, it could keep your family safe. Scotland's firefighters are struggling to reach those most at risk of fires at home. The Scottish Fire and Rescue Service is appealing to communities across the country to help it reach the most isolated and vulnerable. This Make the Call campaign is tasking families, friends and carers to make a 10-minute phone call to book a free home fire safety visit to help save a life. Sadly, 42 people in Scotland have died in the last 12 months because of fire, with more than half of them over the age of 50. Intelligence gathered from fire investigations have shown that people over the age of 50 who smoke and either have mobility issues, live alone or use medical oxygen are more likely to be injured or killed by a fire in the home. However, communities can put firefighters and SFRS specialists in touch with anyone they think is vulnerable by making a 10-minute phone call, sending a text, or filling out an online form. Deputy Assistant Chief Officer Ian McLeod said, "Far too often when we attend fires, we know they could have been prevented. If we had known about someone's living situation and how vulnerable they were, we could have acted. We do not know who is vulnerable, where they are, or how to contact them. We need help. That's why we are urging members of the public, families and carers to make a call on behalf of someone they know if they think they may be at risk or vulnerable to fire in the home. Once a call, text or online form is received, the service will arrange for someone to receive a visit from a trained SFRS staff from the local station. During the visit, staff will identify key fire risks, offer solutions and assistance, and where necessary, can also install smoke detectors for those who need it most." DSCO McLeod added, "That one phone call could ultimately save a life or keep someone from harm. It costs nothing and we can arrange for our teams to minimise the risk in someone's home. If you are a family member or carer, you can refer someone directly. If you are a neighbour or a friend, you must secure the person's consent. Book a free home fire safety visit at www.firescotland.gov.uk or call 0800 0731 999 or text FIRE to 80800.
Family announcements. Deaths. Halkett, William. Peacefully at Crackstone Care Home on December 20th, 2023. Beloved husband of the late Jane, father of Pamela and Scott, papa to Ben and Josh. Funeral service at Daldowie Crematorium on Tuesday, January 16th, 2024 at 10:30 a.m. To which all family and friends are respectfully invited. McKinnon, Mary Bernadette, Benny. Benny, dearly loved wife of Neil and much loved mum to Ronnie, Lorna, Rona and Mira. Mother-in-law to Audrey, Jim and John. Loving Gran and Great Gran. Passed away peacefully at Glasgow Royal Infirmary on December 20th, 2023, following a short time in hospital. Funeral service will take place at St Mary's Parish Church, Kirkintilloch, at 9:45 a.m. on Monday, January 15th, 2024. Thereafter to Daldowie Crematorium at 11 a.m. No flowers, please. Acknowledgements. Cameron, Robert. Robert, formerly of Mailing Avenue, Bishopbriggs, died peacefully on December 12, 2023. Beloved husband of Moira for over 60 years, inspirational and adored father of Caroline and much-loved brother of Jane and Linda. Special thanks to family and friends who visited Robert in Birdston Care Home, staff there, and to the speakers, and to all who attended the funeral service held on December 23, 2023, at Daldowie Crematorium. In Memoriam. Jinley, Hugh. January 2nd, 2012. In loving memory of a darling husband and dad. If we could write a story, it would be the greatest ever told, of a kind and loving man who had a heart of gold. If we could write a million pages, we would still be unable to say how very much we love you and miss you every single day. Loved always, forgotten never. May, Suzanne Marie, and Sid. Kiss, kiss, kiss.
Holyrood view, Putting People and the Planet First is Vital for the Future, by Ross Greer, MSP. A government's budget tells you a lot about its priorities. The UK government has slashed spending on essential public services and gone instead for tax cuts. That's had a huge effect on Scotland's budget, which is largely set by Westminster. There is no hiding how challenging life is for people across Scotland right now, thanks to the actions of Tories at Westminster. Despite that, the Scottish Government is using the levers available to it to protect those struggling during this cost of living crisis. The Scottish Greens have ensured that Scotland's budget puts people and planet first. From investing an additional £1 billion in anti-poverty measures like the Scottish Child Payment, to record investment in climate and nature projects, this budget will build a fairer, greener Scotland. The UK government has shown their utter contempt for our planet, as shown by their approval of new oil and gas fields and ditching their few positive environmental policies. We will be judged for decades to come on the efforts we make right now to tackle the climate crisis. That's why it is right that in Scotland we have committed to spend a record £4.7 billion on climate and nature initiatives next year, which will create new job opportunities. It is essential that we tackle the climate crisis while eliminating issues like fuel poverty, by making it cheaper to heat our homes, using green alternatives to gas boilers, like heat pumps. That is why, this year, the government will spend £358 million on its Warmer, Greener Homes programmes. It's important to the Scottish Greens that the richest pay the most to support public services like our NHS. As a result of progressive tax reforms we have secured since 2018, public services in Scotland will be better off to the tune of £1.5 billion next year. Recognising that the top 5% of earners can pay a bit more, Greens in government have announced a new tax ban for those earning over £75,000. This extra income will allow us to mitigate the cruel policies of the UK government, continuing the measures which are lifting 90,000 children out of poverty this year. I'm particularly pleased that my proposal to wipe out all school meal debt is one of the new steps the Scottish Government is taking to continue that progress. Opinion. Let's talk. Please send your letters via email to kirkyherald@jnscotland.co.uk and write letters in the subject field. Please keep letters to a maximum of 300 words. Letters cannot be published without a name and postal address. Also include a daytime phone number if possible. We reserve the right to edit any letter. Early April the 1st and cynical kettle of fish. Sir, it looks like April the 1st has come early. The SNP/Green Scottish Government is promoting the Children, Care and Justice Scotland Bill, which proposes changing the definition of child in the children's hearings system from someone under 16 to someone under 18. The Scottish Government's spin claims this could cut reoffending by keeping more young people out of the adult justice system. I can foresee the forthcoming headlines and soundbites promulgated by the government's army of spin doctors. Scottish Government cuts the adult crime rate with a stroke. Somehow, I don't anticipate the logical corollary ensuing with the Scottish Government promoting bills to raise the voting age and self-declaration age under an amended Gender Recognition Reform Scotland Bill to 18. Let's face it, manipulation of crime figures is one thing, but weighing the votes of the vulnerable and inexperienced is quite another cynical kettle of fish. Yours, etc. Fraser McGregor, by email. Take a tip, the fly will pay no fines. Sir, fly tipping fines are being doubled. I think the key to the number of people caught is the name of this offence, fly, which usually means no one knows, so therefore this increased fine will not stop them doing it. If anything is causing an increase, it is the SNP cutting council funding, meaning many council recycling centres are closed most days. Fly tipping will only increase and neither the council nor police will have time, staff or procedures in place to stop it. Yours, etc. Elizabeth Hands, address supplied. Opposition position in education? Sir, in all the fine words and condemnation emanating from the Scottish opposition parties about Scotland's education slide down the pan, you have to look very hard to find anything on their websites, press releases or Holyrood speeches about what they would actually do to fix the problems. I looked at the Labour and Tory webpages. A load of blah about restoring standards, personalised tuition, etc. And, in the case of the Tories, 3,000 more teachers. From where? Oh, and how terrible the SNP Greens have been. The opposition parties have had 16 years to work out what should be done and how to win an election. There's one coming up, and, while education may be devolved, they should surely be using all the airtime they get to showcase their plans and convince people that the road to changing education and enabling their party to do it starts by voting for pro-UK parties with the best Scottish policies. Bring it on. By the next Holyrood election, around 100,000 kids will have left school mostly unprepared or unskilled for the world of work. Alan Sutherland, by email. Glass House cronyism. Sir, the First Minister hit out, with good reason, many would say, at the UK's honours list cronyism. Only in an administration lacking even the most basic sense of irony and self-awareness could people make remarks like this. But does it ever strike Hamza Yousaf, or his special advisers, that his administration had just appointed, without any known selection process, Michael Russell, a former SNP president, as head of a supposedly impartial and taxpayer-funded advisory quango? It will be difficult to find a more blatant example of Old Pals Act cronyism. When will they learn that people in glass houses should not do? Alexander Mackay, address supplied. If she's gone, she should go. Sir, Liz Lloyd, Nicola Sturgeon's former chief of staff, tells us that XFM is hiding away writing her book before adding, but she is in Parliament and doing fine. A rare slip followed by a weak recovery from a once prominent SNP spin doctor. Sturgeon is paid nearly £68,000 as an MSP by us to be fully occupied each day and every day on behalf of her constituents. If she's busy isolating, trying to dredge her memory and cobble together her autobiography, is she arguably not serving her constituents effectively and justifying her significant salary? Or, perhaps, Sturgeon considered being an MSP a part-time job? Maybe her retirement for Holyrood is overdue. Yours, etc. Martin Redfern, by email. Reader's Charter. This newspaper is built in a tradition of accuracy and fairness, giving you the information you need to understand our world, holding power to account and exposing injustice. Our trusted brand means we are the only place where you can read and participate in honest debates. We are committed to giving voice to those who struggle to be heard, as well as those whose profession is crafting an argument. Our Reader's Charter spells out our commitment to you. You can read the charter online at kirkyherald@gnscotland.co.uk. That's kirkyherald@gnscotland.co.uk. Outdoors is great for mental health. New research from the National Trust for Scotland shows that 97% of Scots believe access to the outdoors is important for their mental health. Research for Scotland's largest conservation charity found that 95% of those surveyed said spending time outdoors was effectively at reducing their stress levels, with 89% stating that it enhances their quality of life. The Scottish coast topped the polls as the most preferred place to spend time outdoors, with 58% enjoying spending time by the sea, followed by 50% who favoured woodland spaces and 48% country parks or gardens. Different types of landscape, and their value to people's well-being, was highlighted in the importance of the National Trust for Scotland's work to care for, protect and share Scotland's outdoor places. Looking after over 100 places across Scotland, the Trust ensures people of all ages have the opportunity, now and in future, to discover new places, make memories and learn more about Scotland's natural cultural heritage while experiencing the positive well-being impacts of the outdoors. Clea Warner, NTS Regional Director, said, Our charity is privileged to look after some of the country's most beautiful natural heritage. Every day, we see the positive impact that the great outdoors can have on well-being and mental health. It doesn't have to be an epic climb of a mountain or extreme water sports. It can be as simple as a walk around a peaceful garden or the bracing Scottish coastline. Whether you're looking for a family day out, to make new memories with friends, or share a new experience, there's a place and activity for everyone. All of us at the National Trust for Scotland are proud to play our part in looking after and providing access to outdoor places, to continue to offer residents and visitors to our incredible country, and the chance to make the most of the positive well-being impacts of the outdoors. It's thanks to the generosity of our members and supporters that we can continue our vital work of caring for and sharing Scotland's most special places. In 2023, NTS appointed Dr. Cal Major, vet, adventurer and advocate for nature and the oceans, as its ambassador. Cal's role helps to raise awareness of and support for the Trust's important work. She said, "Over the course of my career, I have discovered that an appreciation of what it means for their well-being is why lots of folk feel a strong connection to nature. This often translates as a desire to protect it. Beyond the National Trust for Scotland survey results, there is scientific research showing that nature is beneficial for our well-being. In our modern society, which is so fast-paced and disconnected from nature, making space for it in our lives has never been more important. And equally, nature has never needed us to stand up for its protection more. For me, the outdoors is very much my go-to for staying well, and it is hugely reaffirming to hear that this is the case for many other people around Scotland." To find out more about NTS or plan your next great outdoors adventure, visit www.nts.org.uk. National Insurance Tax Cut This Month. 27 million people across the UK will benefit from a yearly tax cut worth hundreds of pounds, meaning a household with two average earners will save nearly £1,000 per year. The main rate of national insurance was cut by 2 pence from 12% to 10% on Saturday, January the 6th. This reduces national insurance by more than 15%, saving £450 this year for the average salaried worker on £35,400. Millions of people working in different jobs across hundreds of industries will be better off. An average full-time nurse will save £520, a typical junior doctor £750, and an average teacher £630. In the past year, inflation has halved, the economy has recovered more quickly from the pandemic than first thought, and debt is on track to fall. Prime Minister Rishi Sunak said, "We have made tough decisions on the economy, supporting people through global shocks such as the pandemic and Putin's illegal invasion of Ukraine. It is because of the tough decisions this government has taken that today we are able to cut taxes for 27 million people across the UK. The tax cuts will directly reward hard-working people, putting £450 back in the pocket of the average worker and helping them make ends meet." HMRC has launched an online tool to help people understand how much they could save in national insurance this year. It's available now at www.tax.service.gov.uk/estimate-jan-24-hamilton-nic-changes. The tool will use salary information to give employees personalised estimates of how much they could save.
More than 300 SAS staff were abused. More than 300 Scottish Ambulance Service staff were physically or verbally abused in the past year, according to latest statistics. The figures show that 328 staff suffered abuse, attacks with weapons and death threats last year, with ambulance staff having to deal with incidents of abuse almost every day. Of these 328 incidents, an increase of 51 over the previous year, 21 staff were threatened with either a knife or bottle, while 140 were either punched, kicked or spat on. There were also 124 incidents in the last 12 months of verbal abuse towards staff. Michael Dixon, Chief Executive of the Scottish Ambulance Service, said, "We strongly condemn violence against our staff. They have the right to carry out their work, helping patients and saving lives without fear of assault or abuse. Our staff are having to deal with incidents nearly every single day, and that is totally unacceptable. No form of abuse will be tolerated, and we will continue to work with Police Scotland to take action against perpetrators." The majority of the assaults or abuse was in the West region, with 176 in the past year. In the East, some 123 incidents of physical or verbal abuse were reported, and in the North there were 27. Yearly data was for the period October 2022 to October 2023. The most common time for assaults was between 9 p.m. and 10 p.m. The time with the least was 5 a.m. to 6 a.m. The most common days for physical assaults was probably, not surprisingly, Friday, Saturday and Sunday, with August the worst month.
Heating help is just a click away. With many in the agricultural industry affected by high energy costs, a charity working in the field has seen a 55% rise in applicants for its Help for Heating grants. The Royal Scottish Agricultural Benevolent Institution issued £41,000 in grants over the course of the 2022-23 financial year, and demand is expected to continue. Many farming families and crofters live in houses which are very old, with property types which can be very difficult to insulate properly and costly to heat. Chris McVeigh, RSABI Welfare Manager, said, "Our Help for Heating grants are available to farmers, crofters and others working in or retired from agriculture who are struggling with the rising costs of heating bills. The grants are simple and quick to apply for, starting at £300, available to those spending more than 10% of their household income on heating costs and finding it difficult to afford essentials like food and clothing. RSABI is urging people who are struggling to pay to heat their homes to get in touch to find out more about the initiative and the other support services on offer." Chris said, "Our team are on hand to take you through the straightforward application process and can advise in other ways we might be able to help too, as well as signposting other organisations which can provide energy efficiency advice. In cases where finances have become really difficult, we can very quickly arrange a prepaid debit card to pay for grocery shopping, and we can also arrange purchases where household goods break down and people are struggling to pay for replacement items. RSABI also offers ongoing financial support through an annual beneficiary scheme, where anyone in need who meets the support criteria can receive regular payments to help top up their income." Chris added, "We know there may be many households who are managing, but now, with the cost of living impact, fixed-term energy contracts ending, and increased home energy and input costs, the financial pressure is growing. To find out more, visit www.rsabi.org.uk or call the free phone helpline on 0808 1234 555, available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Declutter and donate goods to charity. The British Heart Foundation is calling for Scots to kickstart their 2024 by having a declutter and donating any unwanted Christmas gifts, whether it's a jumper that doesn't fit, a game you won't play, or a book you already have. The BHF will welcome any generous donations which can be resold to fund life-saving research. Simply pop them in the post by downloading a free post label at www.bhf.org.uk/shop/donating-goods, or take them down to your local BHF charity shop. The BHF gladly receives clothing, jewellery, books and games. It also saves over 56,000 tonnes of goods from going to landfill every year. Alison Swain Hughes, BHF Retail Director, said, "We depend on generous donations from the public to continue to fund our life-saving research. If you find yourself with unused gifts lying around, Why not start the new year off by giving back?
Blanket appeal for SPCA. The Scottish SPCA is appealing for people to get out their crochet or knitting needles to make blankets for the animals in their care. The charity wants all the unwanted and abandoned pets to be cosy and content this winter. A warm blanket to curl up in and something to play with can make a big difference to a pet who's known nothing but cruelty and fear. Head of Fostering, Rehoming and Community Engagement, Jenny McLeod, said, "We are in need of blankets to keep animals in our care warm and cosy while they wait for their forever homes. The only criteria we have is for them to be tightly woven without large holes." Visit www.scottishspca.org for more details.
District News, as published on Wednesday the 10th of January. Churches: Kirkintilloch Church of God at Regent Hall, Regent on Wednesday, Regent. On Wednesday, our coffee corner is open from noon to 2 p.m. for home baking and coffee. Join our friends and neighbours for a chat over a coffee. On Sunday, there will be a Zoom service at 6:30 p.m. The speaker this week will be Jeff Hayden from Ontario, Canada. A warm invitation to everyone who is able to join us on Zoom. Access details for the stream can be obtained by emailing hello@regenthall.org. For up-to-date and further information on our services, visit our website on www.regenthall.org. The Bible says, "This is how we know what love is. Jesus laid down his life for us." 1 John 3, verse 16. Colston Well Park Church. A good new year to all, and welcome to our service at Colston Well Park Church, starting at 11 a.m. and led by Reverend Malcolm Cuthbertson, followed by tea and coffee served in the hall after the service. The Art Club recommences on Monday, January 15th at 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. and, if interested in joining, give Ramsay a call on 07709 584 680 for more information. On Wednesday, the Colston Tea Break, or community drop-in, continues from 11 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. Feel free to pop in for good food, good chat and, of course, good company. Again, let's not forget the essential work that's done within our community for the food bank. It is open every Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. and 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. We give thanks to all who continually assist and donate foodstuffs. Springfield Cambridge Church. Morning worship on Sunday, January the 14th will be conducted by Reverend Ian Taylor, assisted by our Assistant Minister, Mrs. Julie Harty, in the sanctuary at 11 a.m. Tea and coffee will be served in the Cameron Hall after morning worship. Come along and enjoy the fellowship. No collection is taken during the service, so donations can be made by placing them in the offering plates in the Hall of Fellowship as you enter or leave the building. Morning worship is also being live streamed on the Springfield Cambridge Church YouTube channel. A link to this can be found on the Springfield Cambridge Church website, www.springfieldcambridge.org.uk, and Facebook page, where up-to-date information about events and church organisations can also be found. There will be a vestry hour on Wednesday, January the 10th from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. for anyone who would like to speak with the minister. There will be a short weekly service of worship in the Springfield Chapel on Wednesday, January the 10th, from 11:10 a.m. to 11:30 a.m, followed by tea and coffee in the Hall of Fellowship. Materials for the February edition of the record should be sent to our magazine editor, Marion Ray, by June 14th. Milton of Campsie Parish Church. It's now all systems go for 2024. We meet for worship on Sunday, January the 14th. All the children's and youth groups meet as normal. Monday's baby and toddler group, hobbies club and badminton have resumed. Tuesday's Cafe Connect resumes today. On Wednesday, January the 10th at 7 p.m, we meet for a time to pray in the Eric Liddell. Come when you can, leave when you must.
Also on that evening, the Fellowship meets at 7:30 p.m. for a talk from the Fire and Rescue Team. On Friday, January the 12th, the BB Anchor and Junior Sections restart at 6:15 p.m. St Mary's Parish Church. The service on Sunday, January the 14th, will begin at 11 a.m. and be taken by the Reverend Dr. Ruth Morrison. There will be age-appropriate activities for the young church in the halls. The craft group meets on Monday, January the 15th at 2 p.m. to discuss their activities in the coming weeks. Wednesday Welcome will also take place on Wednesday, January the 10th, when tea, coffee and home baking will be available between 10 a.m. and 11:30 a.m. This is followed by a short service at 11:30 a.m. St James Church, Hilton Road, Bishop Briggs, Rector Reverend Canon Paul Watson, 0141-230-4080. There is a communion service in the chapel on Thursday, January 11th at 11 a.m. and on Sunday, January the 14th at 9 a.m. The 10:30 a.m. communion service, with hymns, on Sunday is in the church. Everyone is welcome to come along to any of these services. Do stay on for tea and coffee and fellowship afterwards. On Tuesday, January the 16th at 1 p.m, there is a Tuesday club lunch with a talk. Do feel free to come along. £3 donation at the door. You will be most welcome to join us. Date for your diary. Thursday, January the 18th. The Cost of Living Matters. An event hosted by Bishopbriggs Churches Together. An evening to face our serious common challenges and come together in prayer and worship. There are also other virtual services and groups. For up-to-date and further information, refer to our social media, Facebook, St. James LS Bishopbriggs, website, www.stjamesbishopbriggs.org.uk. Lindsay Union Parish Church. Sunday worship at 11 a.m, led by Reverend Dan Carmichael. There is tea and coffee in the new hall after the service. Young people are also welcome to Lighthouse and Bible class. A live stream of the service is available on YouTube via our website. The meeting place opens for tea and coffee and home baking every Wednesday, 10 a.m. to noon in the new hall. Everyone, from the very young to the young at heart, is welcome to attend. We also have a good selection of greetings cards and second-hand books for sale. Silver Movers Dance Exercise takes place at 1:30 p.m. to 2:30 p.m. in the Old Hall on the first and third Monday of each month. Come and dance, relax and enjoy. Contact Claire on 074212-5722. The Coffee Pot is open on Fridays 10 a.m. to noon in the New Hall for teas, coffee and chat. Messy Church, an hour of fun, games and crafts for families, is on Saturday, January the 13th from 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. in the New Hall. Kenmure Parish Church. Following the Christmas and New Year break, our organisations are starting to get back up and running again. This week, toddlers 10 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. on Wednesdays, an adult Bible class at 7:15 p.m. to 9 p.m. on Thursday. Sunday morning worship starts, as usual, at 11 a.m. You are welcome to join us both in church and on our YouTube channel. The service on YouTube can be watched live, streamed, or later at a time that suits you. You can find our channel by simply searching for Kenmure Bishopbriggs on YouTube. Teas and coffees and a time of fellowship follows the end of the church service. Details of all of our groups that are currently running may be found on our website, kenmure-church.co.uk. To find us on Facebook, just search for Kenmure Parish Church. If you would like to join our WhatsApp group or receive the Bible studies from ABC, then email us at kenmurechurch@icloud.com. Lindsay Old Parish Church. Sunday worship begins in the church at 11 a.m. A creche is available for children under 3. The quilt and craft group meet every Wednesday, 10 a.m. to noon in the session room. Timeout starts back on Monday, January 15th at 7:45 p.m. in the church hall with a gift exchange. Thursday afternoon club is on Thursday, January 18th at 2 p.m. to 4 p.m.
Enjoy tea and coffee and home baking, followed by a game of Scrabble, Dominoes, Roomie Club or Uno. If preferred, you can sit back and chat and or do your knitting. There are books for sale and any donations go to Women's Aid. Scottish Country Dancing is on every Thursday 7:15pm to 9:30pm. Come along for fun, fitness and friendship. You'll be made very welcome. Cadder Parish Church, beside the canal. For full details, please see our website www.cadderchurch.org. We look forward to welcoming you this coming Sunday to our morning service. The service will be led by Probationer Minister Chris Gordon and Javier Jose Ascendo Malo, MMUS. All are welcome. Tea and coffee served after both services. Food bank. If you wish to donate to the local food bank, you can bring your donations of food to the church or the coffee shop. Early fellowship meets in person in the South Hall Chapel at 9:30am on Tuesday and Thursday, and also on Zoom. For further details, contact the minister. Guild, our first meeting of 2024 on Thursday, January 18th, is in the South Halls at 7pm. Our speaker is Eileen O'Donnell, and her subject is the Naya Bisindu Project in Rwanda. The cost of living matters to God. An opening evening to reflect on the common challenge that many people are facing today, cost of living crisis. An opportunity to come together in prayer and worship. Speakers, Jamie Cook, campaigner, and Emma Wilson from Food Bank. Organised by local clergy and Bishop Briggs. Thursday, January the 18th, 7pm. Venue, Bishop Briggs Community Church, 21 Park Avenue, G64, 2SN. Cadder Coffee Shop, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, 10am to 2pm and Friday, 10 to noon. A warm welcome awaits you. Cadder Messy Play, Tuesday and Thursday, South Hall, 10:30am to 11:30am. New blocks starting this week. 212th BB Quiz Night, Friday, February the 9th, maximum of 6 people. Donation at the door. Half-time buffet. 92nd Glasgow Company, The Girls Brigade, Tuesdays, Explorers P1 to P3, 6:15pm to 7:30pm. Juniors, P4 to P7, 6:30 to 8pm. Brigaders, S1 to S6, 7:30pm to 9pm. 212th Boys Brigade Anchor Boys, P1 to 3, Monday, 6pm to 7pm. Junior Section, Primary 4 to 6, Monday, 7:15pm to 8:30pm. Company/Senior Section, P7 to S6, Friday, 7pm to 9pm. As published on Wednesday the 10th of January, District News, General. Christmas outing. Young carers enjoy cinema treat. Young carers in Eastern Bartonshire enjoyed festive pop-up cinema nights thanks to the support of Gavin's Mill and Tesco in Mulgay and the Inner Wheel Club of Kirkintilloch. The pop-up cinema nights were organised by Carers Link Eastern Bartonshire in partnership with Gavin's Mill, held in December, when young carers were treated to a festive screening of How the Grinch Stole Christmas. As the year draws to a close, Carers Link in Eastern Bartonshire shines a light on young carers and the business partners, volunteers, and the dedicated local community that supports young and adult unpaid carers throughout the year. Jennifer Rowe, Chief Executive Officer of Carers Link Eastern Bartonshire, said, "No one should have to care alone, and that includes our young carers. Carers Link is local and dedicated to providing a range of services to carers of all ages who live or care within the Eastern Bartonshire area, as well as dedicated one-to-one support and support within schools. Our young carers enjoy regular social groups and holiday activities. Each year, we fundraise to support young carers with fun activities during the summer holidays and Christmas. Carers Link supports young carers in the local area, with almost 100 new referrals in the last year alone. Our business partners, fundraisers, volunteers and schools play a crucial role in supporting the delivery of outings, including the pop-up cinema nights
for young carers. Thanks to Gavin's Mill for donating the venue, hot chocolate and ice cream, and for Testimo Guy's donation of hero tubs and popcorn, as well as to the Inner Wheel Club of Kirkintilloch, whose generous donation earlier this year allowed us to provide transport for those living in Kirkintilloch to attend. Our young carers had a brilliant night at the movies. Carers Linkeast and Bartonshire welcomes fundraising and partnerships with local businesses and can provide employers talks to help identify carers that need support. If you are interested in discussing partnerships to help support unpaid young and adult carers in East and Bartonshire, please contact Veronica at Carers Link on 0800 975 2131. Veronica at carerslink.org.uk. Visit www.carerslink.org.uk or inquiry at carerslink.org.uk. Horticultural Society. There was a good turnout of members when the Kirkintilloch Horticultural Society held their Christmas social evening in December. We took part in a fun but quite taxing Christmas themed quiz, enjoyed mulled wine and festive fare, then left bearing gifts from Secret Santa. Our next meeting will be on Thursday, January the 18th from 7:30pm to 9:30pm in Enterprise House, where Andrew Lothian will be giving a practical demonstration and information on growing plants. Potential new members will be made welcome on the night, or alternatively can find out more about the society by calling Paul Malcolm on 0141 578 1520 or visiting her website www.kirkintillochhorty.org.uk. Spice Girls stamps released. Royal Mail announced it is issuing a set of 15 stamps on January the 11th to celebrate one of the most successful pop groups of all time, the Spice Girls. With more than 100 million global record sales across 3 decades and 9 UK number one singles, they are one of the most successful British bands in music history. This is the first time Royal Mail has dedicated an entire stamp issue to a female pop group, and they become only the 6th music group to feature in a dedicated stamp issue, following on from the Beatles in 2007, Pink Floyd in 2016, Queen in 2020, The Rolling Stones in 2022, and Iron Maiden in 2023. The selected images celebrate the incredible legacy of the Spice Girls. Antiquaries Meeting. The first Antiquaries Meeting of 2024 will be on Thursday, January the 11th at 7:30pm in the Park Centre, 45 Kerr Street, Kirkintilloch. Our former Secretary and Honorary Member, Don Martin MBE, will give a talk on local history and folk song. When first working in Glasgow's Mitchell Library, Don met colleagues with similar interests in music, and this led to the formation of Clutha, the famous folk group which later developed an international reputation via its live performances and recordings. In this talk, Don, accompanying himself on guitar, will explore the rich resource for the study of local history that is contained within the traditional folk repertoire. British Horse Society. Equine charity, the British Horse Society, BHS, is delighted to welcome James Risk as the new chair of the Scotland Committee. James will champion the work of the charity, which protects and promotes the interest of all horses, as well as helps people from all the communities to experience the joy these animals can bring. James, who collaborates closely with both the British Veterinary Association and the British Equine Veterinary Association, brings a wealth of knowledge and invaluable connections to the BHS in Scotland. As a filmmaking equine vet, James is passionate about improving the lives of horses and all those who love them. About the new role, James said, "Looking back, I've learned a huge amount from people willing to donate their time and knowledge. I'm very pleased to be given the opportunity to give back as the British Horse Society's Scotland Committee Chair. My focus is on expanding initiatives related to equine welfare and fostering collaboration across professions. The British Horse Society exists to change lives through the power of horses." To learn more about the BHS
and how you can support the work they do across Scotland, visit bhs.org.uk.
Rob Roy Begging to Come Home, an article written by Brian Young and read by me, Corey. Kirkintilloch Rob Roy's Director of Operations, Kevin McGoldrick, insists the club will do whatever it takes to play football in the town once again. This year will mark a decade since Adamsley Park was sold for housing, with Rob Roy having ground shared with Cumbernauld United ever since. McGoldrick recently stepped down as manager to take up his new role and says the club have to return to Kirkintilloch to progress their plans for the future. He said, "When I took on the manager's job just over a year ago, I knew it would always likely be a short-term thing. So when I was asked to look at forming an academy, given I work like everyone else, I knew I couldn't do everything. I was happy to hand the reins over to Danny Ferry. Initially, it was just on a temporary basis, but I have no doubt he'll do a great job for a long time to come. The main problem now with setting up an academy is we have nowhere for the kids to play, so everything is rather in limbo at the present time. We are still hoping to build up a strong partnership with Eastern Bartonshire Council in order to use the new Kirkintilloch Community Sports Complex. It may be a similar situation to Peters Hill Park in Springburn, which several teams call home every weekend, including Peters Hill, Glasgow City and Rossvale Women. That has proved such a model can work, and we're more than happy to do whatever the council needs us to do to secure using the new facility. We will be able to provide numerous lets to ensure the stadium is used often and will share with whomever we have to. The club has been away from its hometown for so long and really needs to be playing within its own community. After 10 years, we are desperate to return. I am sure crowds would get a real boost, and so would the future of the club." That article was written by Brian Yule and read by me, Corey. Lindsay Kids Were on the Ball at Soccer World, an article unattributed but being read by me, Corey. Lindsay After School Club played its Mentors Festival at Soccer World, sponsored by Arnold Clark. The six teams of six came from the local Lindsay primary schools, with each having a mentor in the form of a pupil from Lindsay Academy. Each team played seven 15-minute games, and there was also skills competitions: beat the goalie, crossbar challenge, and keepy uppy. The Arnold Clark Trophy was won by Harris Blacks, and the player of the final was Caleb from Lindsay Meadow. The Mentors Trophy was won by Jamie Blues, and the player of the final was David, also from Lindsay Meadows. Ian Stevenson, who organised the event, said, "A big thank you to Lindsay Academy pupils, Harry, Jamie, Jack, Christopher, Josh and Ewan, the mentors who ran the competition, and to our sponsor, Arnold Clark Motors of Lindsay. It was a great day of football skills, hard work and a good sporting attitude from the pupils who took part." That article was unattributed, but it was read by me, Corey. Stark Has Unfinished Business at Tigers, an article written by Phil Lanning and read by me, Corey. Paul Stark admits he has unfinished business after rejoining Glasgow Tigers for the 2024 season. The 33-year-old was previously at Ashfield for the 2018 and 2019 seasons, but missed half of the latter due to suffering a double broken wrist. Now, after becoming the team's fifth signing and the close season, Stark is returning with a huge desire to help the club retain the Championship League title. Stark, who rode for Plymouth Gladiators last season, said, "Glasgow is a great club, and it was a huge blow for me personally to be injured in 2019.
I had a good previous year, but we wanted to win the league. In the end, they lost the final in 2019. I believe I could have helped them win it. So, I've definitely got unfinished business. I want to win the title with them for sure. It's been a bit of a roller coaster for me since then. We had the pandemic and I've not found the form I wanted to since. But to rejoin the Tigers and that hunger for success is just what I need. I know what I am capable of, and so do the management at Glasgow. It's always been a huge club. I love the fans and atmosphere at Ashfield, and I can't wait to be back up there in March. Tigers team boss Cammy Brown is delighted to bring the rider nicknamed Iron Man back to Ashfield. He added, "It was a huge blow to lose Paul during the 2019 season. In my mind, it ended up costing us the league title. Paul is a brilliant engine room performer, and I know he will play a really strong role for us." That article was written by Phil Lanning and read by me, Corey. City scored double figures to progress. An article written by Brian Newell and read by me, Corey. Lisa Forrest scored her first hat-trick for Glasgow City as they went through to the fourth round of the Scottish Cup following a 10-0 win over Rossville on Sunday. Rossville were drawn as the home side, but both sides played at Petershill Park. The Championship leaders had no real advantage over their reigning SWPL1 champions. It took just 2 minutes for City to take the lead as Forrest scored from close range. They would then double and treble their lead in the 16th minute, as first club captain Jo Love, making her first start since October of 2021, found the net, and then almost immediately Forrest did likewise. Corey Sullivan blasted home on 29 minutes to make it 4-0, and 2 minutes later, Forrest took advantage of a mistake in the Rossville defence to complete her hat-trick. Lauren Davidson then scored twice from the spot on the 38th and 41st minutes, as City led 7-0 at the break. Sullivan grabbed her brace of 53 minutes and then 6 minutes later set up fellow American Ailey Gambon. The scoring was completed by Kinga Kozak on 73 minutes as City reached double figures to cruise into the next round. Forrest told the club's media team, "It was a good start to the year, scoring a lot of goals and obviously keeping the clean sheet. I'm delighted to have scored my first hat-trick for Glasgow City, but overall just happy to help the team and contribute." It is back to league action for City on Saturday as they host Spartans. A number of fixtures in the WOS League were able to escape the big freeze this weekend. Results. Premier Division. Cumnock Juniors 1-1 to Kirkintilloch Rob Roy. First Division, Ashfield 1-1 to Cambuslang Rangers. Petershill 2-1 to Renfrew. Second Division, Caledonian Locomotives 1-0 to St Anthony's. Fourth Division, Rossville 1-0 to New Mearns United. Fixtures. First Division, Mabel Juniors versus Ashfield. Petershill versus Rutherglen Glencairn. Second Division, Craigmark Burtonians versus Glasgow Perthshire. Cumbernauld United versus Caledonian Locomotive. Third Division, West Park United versus Girvan. Fourth Division, Easterhouse versus Rossville. That article was written by Brian Newell and read by me, Corey.
That concludes this week's edition of the Kirkintilloch Herald podcast. Please remember to subscribe to our channels at Dune Review and to tell your friends about our service.